Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess on 570 KLIF.
Hey, welcome back. And you know, before we dive into the waters of creating our personal success and limiting negativity and failure, we're going to go to the Busey Minute.
So this is going to be the Random Thoughts with Jake. My name is Jake Busey, and I'm an actor and a musician. I've done probably somewhere around the neighborhood of 75 films, and being an actor sort of makes you an armchair psychologist. I studied psychology, peripherally, I suppose you'd say, in college, and human behavior and people watching and the way people act and interact with each other has always been fascinating to me, and it's also a requirement if you're going to be an actor. You've kind of got to know how people tick in order to portray a character.
Love Jake. He's always got good thoughts. You know, we're going to jump right into the deep end with tonight's topic. When people think about what making the right life choices means, they usually think of getting an education, which comes to mind, or, you know, getting that good education that propels them to get that correct job, that good job. And in turn, that good job puts them in the right placement in society and a right life. And I agree that education is very valuable. And I don't think anybody could disagree with that. Education is something that cannot be taken away from you. And that's a very important thing. Finding a job that you really love to do and something that makes you, just makes you feel good, you're passionate about, something that you really believe in, that's something that I believe in a job. That's something, I guess you wouldn't consider a job, you consider it a career. Or a life's body of work, perhaps, something like that. And then the placement in life. I guess that it's very important. It's important for us all to feel secure, for us all to feel safe, and be in a place in our life that, you know, we're happy with. And those are very important things. We don't really need to cover that, you know, because I think we all agree of the importance of that. And I think that everybody's talked about that from, you know, from day on. But let's talk about the things that nobody really talks about. Maybe perhaps that's the things that people don't really think about themselves. You know, most of us don't really take thought or think about our friends and how those friends can truly affect our life positively or negatively. So let's begin talking about friends we choose to spend our time with. Tonight in the studio, Dorothy Holbrook is in the studio with me tonight. How are you doing, Dorothy?
I'm doing fine. How are you today?
I'm great. Thanks for asking. We're talking about the idea of a criterion for a possible quality life friend, a friend that we meet. A new friend. What is the criterion that makes a good friend? What is the criterion that makes a successful friend? What are your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts on friendship, you know, is basically a two-way street. I'm your friend, you're my friend. We're helping each other. We want the best interest for one another. And, you know, from there we can just go on and enjoy each other's company, spend time together and things like that.
I agree with that. You know, I think that the first thing, and that makes perfect sense, because you want to care about each other's well-being, but you also want to have things in common. Do you think that being a good friend, I think also the person considers your feelings?
That's very important. There's a lot of people that basically like go in detail about themselves, or, you know, put all their feelings on you and how they think and feel about a certain way, but they're not really considerate of, you know, what your thought and feelings are in a particular situation. So it's kind of like, you know, you're just being talked at instead of being talked with.
Yeah.
So
like the person that you can be on the phone with for an hour, but you haven't made one comment and they have no idea that you haven't spoken.
That's right. There's a, you know, I think sometimes those type of friendships or relationships are kind of okay because you need somebody that's just going to listen. Because some of the time, you know, you just have a lot on your mind that you need to get off your chest. So you kind of just need somebody that's going to be an ear, whether they're listening or not. I guess it's really irrelevant because you're just having, you know, that vent that you can, you know, blow some steam off with. So
I agree with the idea of venting, and I agree with having that from time to time. But a lot of times people don't just have that from time to time. It's like the way the friendship works is that one person participates and the other one's just supposed to kind of be their sounding board, the person that absorbs the negativity, the person that
they're in the background friend.
Right.
Yes. There's, I guess in that particular situation, the relationship obviously started off on the wrong foot. And I can use myself as an example. I go into relationships thinking that I need to give and give and give before I feel like I'm validated with that person in order to have a relationship with them. Mm-hmm. But then, and this is just some studying on my own, trying to figure out what I need to do is, you know, I don't have to go into a relationship like that.
No, and I don't think anybody should have to go in a relationship with that. But sometimes we get stuck doing that because we're playing these roles out.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And I think that's important to talk about. And that's kind of, the friendship has a mutual respect. And when you mutually respect each other, and you respect each other's time, and you respect each other's gifts and what they have, and also you give back and they give, receive type thing, mm-hmm. it's mutually, it's great.
Yes.
But when one person's not giving anything and the other person's just, you know, working their butt off,
yeah.
I think it makes people resentful.
That's right. And that kind of relationship is the parasitic relationship. And I know we kind of discussed that a little bit. We're kind of looking for the mutualistic one, where you're giving some 50% or I'm giving 50%. But then, you know, there's those kind of relationships where that exists where, you know, you're putting effort in, but it's not really hurting the other person and they're not gaining either. So
sometimes you can't always be, you know, a give and take. Sometimes people need more help at one point in time, and other times, you know, I believe that it can be, but I think also sometimes we focus, like you said, too much though on the 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
Like sometimes I think if you give as much as you can and that person gives as much as they can, it's great. And you're not really focusing on how much you gave
mm-hmm.
because it's, you know, it's coming equal. Back.
Yeah. It, you know, in the friendship, you're not supposed to be thinking about what you're supposed to be getting back.
No.
You're making these friends because you want to be in a particular relationship with that person, not because you're trying to gain something out of it. You don't want to be in a relationship because you have some sort of ulterior motive.
No, that's smart.
You know, that's a genuine friendship. And those are the kind of people that you want to keep around. Those are the kind of people that you count on. Your friend is supposed to be dependable. They listen to you. If you need help, they come through for you. Whether it's financial help, they don't expect the money back. They just know, hey, I'm helping you. You don't feel like a charity case whenever they're trying to help you either. You know?
I agree with that.
And so I think a lot of people have friends, but obviously there's different dimensions and different levels of friendship. And I guess an example would be like in Shrek, how Shrek said that he's an onion and the donkey didn't understand. But the onion is a metaphor for the different layers. And so friendships are, you know, those different layers. You have your really good friends that know a lot about you. And then you have your associates that kind of know a little bit about you. And then it, you know, just keeps rippling out further and further and further.
No, that's so true. And I think we should talk about that. The different levels of friends. And when I was talking to a few people the other day and a couple of my clients, they brought up the fact that they have some friends that they don't even realize maybe are necessarily their really close friends, as well as some that they think are their really close friends, but they're really not. And they mm-hmm. found out kind of the hard way.
Yeah. And that's terrible if you think that somebody's your friend and you know, you have to sit back and think about it. Well, are they really my friend?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was expecting this, but then this really happened and you're supposed to be my friend. So I don't understand why you're treating me this way or you're talking to me this way.
We talked about it earlier. You said that if you make a mistake or you do something, let's say you said if you were running an hour late and you would tell your friend, hey, I really apologize for being an hour late. You know, I hope that didn't put you in a bad position.
Yeah, right.
Dot, dot, dot. Please accept my apology. And I think that's really a neat thing and an honest thing because a lot of times people don't. They either maybe, like you said, apologize, but they don't tell you why, right. Or they don't apologize for anything.
That's right. They think because if they're apologizing and they give you a reason, obviously that person cares and they are aware of what the offense was. For example, you said being late. Well, I'm apologizing to you because I'm late. You know, I understand, you understand, we're okay with it. We understand what happened. But if you're just apologizing to me, then what are you apologizing for me, you know, to me for? So that's like a useless apology. And then those people that don't apologize, I think that, you know, some people feel like they're so entitled in a friendship that they, you know, things that they do that hurt the other person or offend them, they just kind of brush it off. Oh, she's my friend. She'll forget about it. Yeah, I'm late. I'm always late, you know? Or yeah. he or she, I'm sorry. But that's how I, you know, that's how I interpret some people that just don't even apologize anyway. They look at you as just, they take advantage of you, take advantage of your friendship.
I agree with that. And I think the fact of manipulation comes about, and I think a lot of people don't realize what a manipulation is. And a good idea of that would be, I don't apologize. Let's just use that concept. Mm-hmm. The whole concept of, which is, you know, it's a simple concept. It doesn't really hurt anybody, but it can still be used for this idea.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm an hour late, but instead of apologizing, I actually turn it around to make you feel bad that you would even bring up the fact that I'm an hour late.
Right.
And I mean, some people are really good at this.
Yes.
And it doesn't stop at being an hour late. It could be, sorry, I totaled your car, but there was obviously a valuable reason, and I can't believe you're questioning me.
Yeah.
To the fact of, oh, you know, even for, you know, married couples and other people about things that go way over the line, mm-hmm. and then they are able to turn it
yeah.
on the person.
Yeah. It all started off as it's their fault, but they turned it around on you. Isn't that crazy?
And some people are really good at it, too.
Yes. Yes. And they can't assume responsibility.
No, and it's like the broken record concept, like we talked about, or like I was talking about in the first segment, was the concept that, you know, you have this broken record of negativity, but when somebody is manipulating you as a so-called friend,
mm-hmm.
that can also cause problems too, because you start thinking that, my gosh, maybe I am a bad person, you
right,
know?
Right, right. They tell it to you long enough, or they manipulate you long enough or hard enough that you just start to doubt and question yourself.
Yeah, because you're like, my gosh, I must be in the wrong.
That's right. I'm always wrong. She's late, but it's my fault. And I don't, you know, you start to feel bad about it because genuinely you want that relationship to work. And I keep saying she because...
Well, I mean, we can say that. I mean, she or
he she.
It.
She or...
He could be it. You know, but the thing is that's kind of something I want to hone in on. And I really want to hone in on this next segment when we come up back again, is that the idea of the framework of a new friend seems to be so easy for us to discuss, you know.
Yeah.
But what about the old school friends, you know?
Yeah.
So when we come back from break, we'll be talking about the old school friends, the people we've known forever.
Mm-hmm.
Those people, do you want to be friends with them? Should you hang with them? Should you run away? Stick around, because after the short break, we'll be addressing some old friendships to keep them, to get rid of them. Do they have a purpose, or are they holding you back? If you have a concept or a question or a concern, or you just want to add some thought in or some rambling, 888-787-5543. And when we come back, we'll be talking about all things old school, manipulation, and respect.